Today we plan to go through Revelation chapter 22, verses 12 to 16. Jesus gives us incredible words of encouragement in this passage. So in the midst of increasing confusion and fear, it's essential that believers get back to Jesus. Today's passage helps us do just that, to get back to Jesus. We hear him speak in this passage, and we learn about what he's done. And this passage gives us confidence and boldness and hope. Now, background for this passage, we've been given a breathtaking view, an absolutely breathtaking view of what will take place. A view of God's last call to humanity. A view of Satan's last hurrah and the ultimate defeat. A view of God's coming kingdom, the incredible millennial kingdom. And a view of what believers will be experiencing throughout eternity. Incredible aspect of the New Jerusalem and just the amazing setting that we see there. This book instills confidence. These words are faithful and true. They instill readiness. Jesus is coming quickly. He's coming suddenly. This book instills faithfulness, blessings for those who obey. It instills righteousness and holiness as we purpose to live fully for him, totally for him. And it instills worship. The worship of God, this mind-boggling prophecy, it's so amazing, and it just helps us to fall down and worship him. Now, in today's passage, we focus in on Jesus, and we learn many things about him, many, many things. Eight insights that we'll concentrate or focus on. There are a lot here, but there's eight that we'll focus on. But let's start and let's begin in prayer. Father, I thank you for this passage, and I pray that you'd give us understanding, Lord, that we'd really focus in on who you are, Lord Jesus, and Lord, that you'd encourage our hearts and give us a renewed hope and confidence. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here we are in Revelation 22, verses 12 to 16, and behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. What a beautiful passage. Eight insights about Jesus that we'll really focus on. Insight number one, Jesus is coming quickly. He's coming suddenly. We've looked at this before, but it's worth looking at again. It's repeated right here. Verse 12, and behold, I'm coming quickly. My reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. So Jesus is speaking here, and he says for the second time in this chapter that he's coming quickly. When something's repeated in Scripture, there's a sense of emphasis and certainty. Now, this particular phrase appears three times in this chapter. It appeared earlier, it appears here, it will also appear in verse 20. Surely I'm coming quickly. So this is off the charts. It's been firmly decided. It will happen. There's no question mark. And the whole idea of quickly is coming quickly. That means suddenly, it's an anytime return, an imminent return. And that gives us a sense of hope that no matter how bad things get, he can return at any time. It also gives us a sense of encourages readiness. It's like, you could return at any time. Lord, help me to get ready. Help me do the things you've created me to do. Help me to enter into your purposes. And help me to become the person you want me to be. Because I want to be ready for your return. So insight number one about Jesus, he's coming quickly, suddenly. Insight number two, Jesus will reward his people. Also in verse 12, I'm coming quickly, my reward's with me, to give to everyone according to his work. So Jesus will reward his faithful followers. And we see in different passages, different rewards. We see crowns. We see support of thrones. Now there's a ruling and reigning with God the Father, the Father's throne, and then God the Son, his throne, and we're in support of them. And we hear things about, you know, a faithful servant being told, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." These are all rewards. We're incredibly blessed as far as in eternity. Now, it's not that we heap up these rewards to get comparative as far as my rewards are bigger than your rewards. Even the crowns, we cast them down. The band Casting Crowns, it's from that phrase. It talks about they cast their crowns down. So the rewards we're given, we lay at God's feet, and they're all for his glory anyway. But they're all amazing, and there's something really special. And we help to bring him glory, and we get rewarded for that, and it brings him more glory. So in this passage, we're rewarded according to our works. For our faith is reflected in our works. Even though we're not saved in some ways by our works, we're really saved by Jesus and what he did for us. And yet if we're really saved, we will do good works, and they demonstrate or express the faith that we have inside. So our works, that's our words, our deeds, our character, as we become more like Christ, they reflect underlying faith. And this encourages us to live fully for God, absolutely fully for God. And it's interesting, he sees everything we do, even if no one else sees the things we do, and he will reward us. So we do things for him, not for people to see, but we do things that bring him glory. People may be involved, but we do things that will bring him glory. He not only sees everything we do, he knows everything we think, everything we think. So let's confess all sin to him as far as, "Lord, purify me," and let's serve him wholeheartedly, wholeheartedly. Let's be willing to sacrifice, even giving up our lives for him. So Jesus will reward his people. Insight number three, Jesus holds all wisdom, all knowledge. In verse 13, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." Now the Alpha and the Omega, that's the first and last Greek letter. The Greek language was seen as containing all wisdom and all knowledge. Well, Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. He has all knowledge. He has all wisdom. He knows everything. So this prophecy, God's return, they are certain. Nothing will thwart God's eventual unveiling of his plan. It will take place. Wayward humanity will be judged. The last call will go forth to all of humanity. Jesus will return. His kingdom will be established. And the eternal state will follow. And it will be amazing. So God's people can be confident. Very, very, very confident. So he holds all wisdom. Insight number four, Jesus is the key to blessed eternal life. Blessed eternal life. In verse 14, "Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city." So the New King James Version says, "Blessed are those who do his commandments." The NIV says, "Blessed are those who wash their robes." And you may say, "Boy, these are way different translations." Well, they utilize different manuscripts. There's earlier manuscripts and later manuscripts, and there's manuscripts in more abundance, and so they choose manuscripts. But they're saying the same thing, really. It's the same idea. There's a blessing for you, an incredible blessing, for those who do his commandments. And the number one command is to wash our robes. That's the number one command. Jesus' blood cleanses us, cleanses our spiritual clothes. And those whose clothes are cleansed, they show it in their lives in overall obedience. So a godly response to this revelation begins with coming to Christ, washing our clothes, "Lord, cleanse me," and living for him in obedience. And he gives us the privilege, actually the right, it says here, to access the tree of life, that wonderful tree that brings healing to the nations. And we enter through the gates into the New Jerusalem, that eternal city. the eternal dwelling place, the eternal state for believers, often called heaven. It's the New Jerusalem. Jesus is the key. There's no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Jesus is the key to this blessed eternal life. And there's no other way. No other religious leader. There's no religious system. Nothing can get us there. Everything else is a form of Babel. It's humanity trying to ascend to God. In Christianity, God descends to man and takes on humanity and pays the price of our sin on the cross to bring reconciliation, forgiveness, the indwelling Holy Spirit, and changed lives, and an incredible future. So Jesus is the key to blessed eternal life. But not everyone responds obediently to the command to wash their clothes. Not everyone will. In verse 15, but outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. So these folks are outside. They are outside. They're not in the New Jerusalem and they're not blessed. They're outside and they're missing out, and it's tragic. It says here that they are dogs. The reference here is to scavenger dogs, creatures of contempt. This is not to your nice little puppy dog. These are scavenger dogs, and they're ferocious and they're nasty. They're morally impure, they're false teachers, etc. It says here that they're practicing sorcery, sexual immorality, murder, idolatry. And they're loving and practicing a lie, so falsehood. That's what they practice. That's their lives. That's what they do. That's what they give themselves to. They don't like fight these things. They give themselves to them. So they've rejected Christ. There's no washing of their clothes, and they're clinging to their sin. And they're missing out. They're outside. For believers, their faith shows itself in their lives. It demonstrates itself in their lives of obedience and good works. For unbelievers, on the other hand, their lack of faith shows in their lives, in their disobedience, in their sin, and the things they practice. Jesus is the key to blessed eternal life. He is the key. Insight number 5, Jesus communicates with his people. In verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. So Jesus himself validates the contents of this book. This book, this prophecy is meant for his churches. They're the ones addressed earlier in Revelation, and really it represents all of churchdom, so all churches. This prophecy and this wonderful book, it's for his people. It's not just for theologians. It is for his people. People in his churches. And the church overall is all believers worldwide, all genuine believers. That's what this is really for. The Lord loves to communicate with his people. It says, I've sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. He loves to communicate with his people. In John chapter 15, we're told that the key to a fruitful life is to abide slash dwell in him, in Christ. That means constant reliance, abiding. And that means constant communication, a relationship. Paul encourages us to pray without ceasing. Jesus said in his word that he'll be with us always, no matter what. So there's this sense of communication. Jesus wants to communicate with us. And it's to be two-way communication. He shares things with us. He says things to us through his word and through prayer, through the Spirit. Number of ways he communicates. And we also communicate with him. We listen and we communicate with him. My wife and I, we communicate regularly. We have a date night every week. Yesterday it was a date afternoon. But it's some kind of special time when we come together. We communicate regularly as far as a deeper level of communication, and that helps us to cultivate a strong relationship. Well, in the same way, when we communicate regularly with Christ, it cultivates a strong relationship, and that pleases the Lord. That's what he wants. That was insight number 5. Jesus communicates with his people. Insight number 6, Jesus is God. Also in verse 16, I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. So Jesus is both the root and the offspring of David. We'll discuss offspring real soon, but root we'll focus on here. Root means he preceded David. He's the root from which David sprang. And so he was involved in the creation of humanity that brought forth David, King David. Now remember Jesus' words in John chapter 8. He said these to the Jewish leaders. He said, before Abraham was, I am. They were challenging him regarding being a contemporary of Abraham, the father Abraham who lived centuries and centuries before that. And he says, before Abraham was, I am. In other words, before Abraham even existed, I am. And that's a description that God gave to Moses. I am. He's the great I am. And the whole idea is he always was, he is now, and he always will be. He's always the I am. He's ever present. And so when Jesus said that in John chapter 8, they picked up stones to stone him because they said, man, he's committing blasphemy. He's equating himself with God. They understood what he was saying. But the problem is it wasn't blasphemy because he is God. It's not like he's claiming to be God and he's not. He is God. And he was making that clear. He was declaring himself to be God, God the Son. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, all things were created through him and for him, through Jesus and for Jesus. Even humanity was created through him and for him. So each one of us, we were created through him and for him. We're created for his good pleasure and for a relationship with him and for his glory. And even King David, created through him and for him. And so again, Jesus is the root of David, he's saying here. Ultimately, he's the King of Kings because he's the root of the greatest king that Israel ever had. And so he is the king. Jesus himself is the King of Kings. Jesus is God, and we can trust him, and we can trust his word. And no matter what we go through, we can place our trust in his promises, and we can grab a hold of him. And we need not falter. We need not stumble. And when we do stumble, we can get back up again and get our eyes fixed on him. He's the author and perfecter of our faith. He's the beginner and the finisher of our faith. And we can concentrate on him and find wonderful stability. So Jesus is God. That's insight number 6. Now, not only is Jesus God, he's also man. Insight number 7, Jesus is man. Also in verse 16, I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. So Jesus is both the root and the offspring of David. He's the creator and the descendant of Israel's best king. He descended from King David. In the lineage, he descended from King David. He took on humanity. It means he took on humanity. He was human. So he was God, but he was also man, he was also human. And as God, he lived a perfect, sinless life. He showed us what God the Father is like. And as man, he died in our place. And it's like, whoa, that's awesome that the Creator became part of the creation. And it's like, whoa, really wild. Now, also as man, the fact that Jesus took on humanity, that means he experienced everything we experience. In fact, Scripture says that. He was tempted in all ways, yet was without sin. So in every way he was tempted, he was tested in every way, and yet he was without sin. So sometimes we think, oh man, he doesn't understand. No one understands what I'm going through. Yes, he understands. He was tempted in every way. The only difference is he didn't falter at all. He didn't sin at all. And he experienced the whole gamut of the human experience. He experienced lack. He experienced hunger and thirst and heartache. Remember, he wept over Jerusalem and the heartache that took place in the Garden of Gethsemane. Lord, take this cup from me. He was weeping over Lazarus, He experienced all of that. So when we're really going through a tough time, Jesus understands. When we're going through a mountaintop experience, he understands. He was resurrected. And we go through a valley experience of heartache and loss and disappointment and hurt. Jesus understands all of that. He was rejected by the very people in some ways he came to seek and save. Not that he failed, but that was his mission, and yet the response wasn't there at the time. Only some Jews, a remnant of Jews, came to faith in Christ. So Jesus is man. He understands everything that we experience. And then insight number 8, Jesus is the source of hope. Again, I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. So he's the bright and morning star. Just as a bright star or a planet such as Venus signals a new day, Jesus signals a new day, a new era. He is our source of hope. His return will absolutely shatter the darkness. He will usher in his millennial kingdom, and it will be a kingdom of righteousness. We're already under his rule in that we serve him now. We're part of his kingdom, shall we say. But he will return, and his rule will be visible. So the millennial kingdom shall come upon us still. After that, after the millennial kingdom, comes the eternal state. Boy, what an adventure it's going to be to experience all of that. Now, no wonder, remember earlier in Revelation when they were weeping because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll? The future that we have is so incredible that it had to be brought forth. And yet people were weeping because the scroll could not be opened. No one was found who was worthy. It's like, we've got to get to this, the last call to humanity and the millennial kingdom and the eternal state. We've got to get to this. But in some ways it was in limbo. But Jesus was found worthy to open the scroll. So that way his whole plan, the judgment of sin, the last call, his return, his reign, the eternal state, it was all able to come forth. He's our source of hope, and it's a sure hope. It's a glorious hope. He's the bright and morning star. So what do we learn about Jesus from this passage? 8 insights that we focused on. One is he's coming quickly. That means suddenly. So let's be ready. 2 is that he will reward his people. So let's serve him wholeheartedly and become what he wants us to become. 3 is he holds all wisdom, all knowledge. So let's stand in confidence. He testifies and his testimony is true. His words are faithful and true. So he has all wisdom, all knowledge, the Alpha and the Omega. 4 is he's the key to blessed eternal life. So let's obey him. Let's live as one who's washed our clothes. And let's reflect that in our lives. 5 is he communicates with his people. He testifies, he sent his angel to testify and to communicate with his churches. So let's cultivate a deep relationship with the one who wants to know us and know us better. A deep relationship. 6 is he's God. So let's trust him fully. He is God. He'll bring forth his plan. He is God. We can trust him. 7 is he's man. So let's remember that he understands everything I'm going through, everything I have gone through, am going through, and will go through. He understands. And then lastly, he's the source of hope. So let's stand strong in hope and confidence, boldness. He's the bright and morning star. So personal application. Let's go through each one of these asking some reflective questions just to challenge our own heart. I love being challenged myself by Scripture. And so I'm challenged just as much as anyone who's hearing. In light of his quick coming, his sudden return, are you ready for his anytime return? It's going to happen. It was said 3 times in this chapter. It's firmly decided. So are you ready for his quick return? Are you living your life in light of that? Is your house in order from the perspective of your relationship with Christ? Number two, in light of his rewards, he's the rewarder. Are you living wholeheartedly for him? Are you heaping up eternal rewards? Not rewards for your own glory, but rewards for his glory. Are you heaping those up? Are you giving the cups of cold water in his name? Are you saying, Lord, teach me and make me into the kind of person you want me to be? Instill in me the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, all the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. And three, in light of his wisdom, his knowledge, he's the Alpha and the Omega. Are you confident that he knows everything and that he will return? He will return. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He has all knowledge. All these things that are said in Revelation, they will take place. We don't know all the details and exactly how it'll work out as far as in all of its details, but we know the big picture. The big picture. He is coming back. He will return. We know that he'll rule and reign. And we know that there's eternity coming. All of that. So we can stand with wonderful confidence. So are you confident that he knows everything, that he will return? The number four, in light of him being the key to blessed eternal life, have your spiritual clothes been washed? Have you washed your clothes in the blood of the Lamb? If you have not, then that is step number one. Everything in this message that leads to step number one, and that's to receive him, to wash your clothes in the blood of the Lamb, your spiritual clothes. And we'll pray shortly, giving you opportunity to respond to him. But if yes, you've already gone through that step of receiving him, then the question for you and for me, are you and I, are we walking in obedience? Are we walking in obedience? Are you fighting sin and not practicing it? We don't want to look like dogs, scavenger dogs. We want to demonstrate faithfulness. And so let's fight sin. If we wrestle with it, let's keep wrestling. And every time we stumble, let's confess it and turn from it. Ask God for cleansing and strength. And if we get tripped up again, we get up again. We confess it. We receive forgiveness and get up again. We fight it. That's the sign. That's a differentiating factor. A believer fights against sin, doesn't practice it, but fights against it. So are you fighting against it, not practicing it? Number five, in light of his communication with his people, he brought his angel to testify. He sent his angel to testify. Are you listening? Are you listening? He wants to communicate with you and with me. Are you in his word daily? Are you in prayer daily, constantly? It's a regular kind of thing, an every moment kind of thing, as we're aware of his presence, praying without ceasing. If you've drifted from that close place of communication with him, a two-way communication relationship, are you ready to repent, to turn back to him, and to see God bring restoration? And then number six, in light of his divinity, he's the root of David. Are you trusting in him? He is God. He is God. He's in charge of the whole plan. He's the root of David, King David. He's obviously the root of each one of us as well. So are we putting our trust, placing our trust in him? He's trustworthy because he's divine. He's God the Son. Then number seven, in light of his humanity, he's the offspring of David. Are you convinced that he understands everything you're going through? He took on humanity. Are you convinced that he understands your low points, the valley experiences you go through, the heartache, the challenges, the trials? He's been there. He went to the cross. He's been there. He was tested in the wilderness before that. He's been there. And when we go through a great mountaintop experience, he's been there as well. He was resurrected, rose from the dead. So he understands all the things we go through, the whole gamut of a human experience. He knows when we're hurting and when we're lacking. And he loves to meet our needs. And then lastly, in light of him being the source of hope, he's the bright morning star. Have you placed your hope in him? Have you placed your wonderful hope in him? Are you standing strong in that hope, confident in that hope? If your clothes have not been washed, as was said earlier, this is the time to receive him so that you can have that hope. So I'd like to offer you, please pray after me at this time. Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Lord, I want to clean my clothes, my spiritual clothes. They need to be cleansed in your blood. You shed your blood for me. And Lord, I want to live for you. Come into my heart. Transform me. I don't want to be king of my own life anymore. I want you to be king. You're my root. And I pray, Father, that you'd make me the kind of person you want me to be. And I look forward to communicating with you and establishing or seeing an awesome relationship cultivated. Lord, I want to serve you and follow you. And I thank you for this time in your word. Thank you for hearing me, for forgiving me. I turn from my sin and I live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if anyone's prayed that prayer, welcome to the kingdom of God. If you prayed that prayer with sincerity in your heart, God transformed your heart, and welcome. Get involved in a Bible-believing church and grow. Grow wonderfully. Now, if your clothes have already been washed, you've already received Christ, then we're going to close with this, a final prayer. And here it goes. Father, I thank you for this time in your word. Lord Jesus, thank you for all the things you've done for us. And Lord, I thank you for the fact that you give us incredible hope, that no matter how uncertain this world gets, you're on the throne. And Lord, we have our hope in you, that you're going to unveil your plan and bring it to fruition. And Lord, you're going to reward us for the things we do unto you. Lord, help us to be faithful and to go about your business and to look to serve you and to bring you glory. Transform us, keep transforming us into the image of your Son, Jesus. We want to bring you glory. Help us to be ready to give an account of the hope that we have to others. And Lord, I pray that you would just use us to meet the needs of others. We want to serve you. And Lord, we thank you that you understand everything we go through, every heartache and every victory. And so, Lord, we just thank you for that. And I pray, Lord, that we would really learn how to trust in you. And Lord, how to have a settled confidence. Stable confidence. We thank you for this time in your word. Thank you for the hope that you give us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.